Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Believe in K-Pop. This is your host, Anthea Isaac. And today, I have a special guest, and a guest you would have been least expecting. So, I am super happy to invite Norman for our show. Welcome.
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, Norman is kind of a jack of all trades. That is what I would like to call him, because he has been doing from production to marketing, and one of his major internship was being a marketing intern for Subculture Entertainment, which is kind of very popular among fans, especially in US, because they have brought us some of the best concerts to US. And he has been a media editor, a production assistant, and whatnot. Recently, he's also working for a movie trailer making agency. So that kind of explains how much of versatile talents you have. So it is such an honor to have you.
Wow. Thank you for all the compliments.
It is true. So how was your day? How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. So today, not gonna lie, I was the most productive as I've ever been. I finally got to took the courage to step out of my house and kind of breathe the fresh air for once after being like stuck at home for so long. I mean, with like work from home and everything, you could get really comfortable, you know, if you could from, you know, so I just decided like, hey, the weather looked really nice outside, so why not? And so best choice I've ever made today.
Well, we are grateful. So the mood was just set and now we are all pumped up for our episode. So thank you for joining again. And of course, this is a K-pop podcast, so we are definitely going to start with how you got introduced to K-pop and the whole journey. We would love to know about that.
All right. Well, this is going to be a very interesting story.
Okay.
So hang on tight. Well, so I was born in Merced, California. And it's kind of like this very small town in the middle of California, where it was pretty predominantly white. And so I didn't have much exposure to Asian culture. And as a Chinese American myself, it was kind of hard to kind of grow up and figuring out my identity. So based on like where I was living, my parents worked really hard to kind of still contribute and bring in the traditions and culture that we have back in China into my childhood. And so for around 8 years, I was like living in Merced and I was adjusting to whatever was going on. So there was a lot of county fairs, eating a lot of hot dogs, McDonald's, the typical American stuff, essentially. And so it wasn't until when I turned 7 or 8, my parents decided to do this epic decision to move to Los Angeles. And when I moved to Los Angeles, that was a huge culture shock, because of how many diverse cultures and people I met there. And so I ended up living in a somewhat predominantly Asian community when I was in middle school. And right then and there, all my friends just came up to me and said, hey, there's this new kid over here. Let's go see if he knows anime, K-pop. Does he watch K-dramas? All these terms that was just thrown left and right. I was like, what? I had no idea what they were talking about. I had no exposure to any of these things. At most, the most diverse thing that I probably knew was watching TVB, which is like these Hong Kong dramas that my parents would watch every day at home. But I did not know what K-dramas were, anime, K-pop for that matter. And so it was right there and then the door opened and I have not left since that day. Yeah, and so my first exposure to K-pop was actually the first K-pop music video was probably Girls' Generation, Run Devil Run.
Oh, nice start.
And that was a really good music video, but it wasn't the music video that kind of brought me into K-pop. So that was like my first introduction to it. And then my second introduction to K-pop was 21's Fire. And that was the one that made a huge impact on my life. Like, I don't know if anyone remembers 21 Fire, but how they started was that they were like, they kind of pulled up with a Rolls Royce. And already there, I was like, this is not a typical K-pop music video that I've ever seen before. When I was in middle school with my friends, like kind of like throwing everything out there, they showed me all kinds of J-pop video, all kinds of old K-pop videos. And they were very different to the typical American music videos that we have over here, you know, especially in the 2000s, a lot of them, there were a lot of indie bands. There were a lot of rock bands that we were listening to over here at the time. So a lot of the famous ones were like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Black Eyed Peas. Lady Gaga was like kind of like starting up. And so their concepts were very, very similar. You know, a lot of them were party heavy, like there was a lot of clubbing, or there was always like a house party, or it was always like oh, girls' night out and they go somewhere fun, you know. So seeing 2NE1 with this particular concept where they come in with like a cool ass Rolls Royce and them stepping out with all like them bedazzled outfit that I've never seen before, so futuristic, it was like, wait, but then they're also like in an alley. And then all of a sudden they transition to like these like super futuristic motorcycle shot B-rolls. It was just like, this is not the K-pop that I was expecting. And so that just really stuck on my head. And I was like, maybe I think I should explore more of other K-pop music videos. And so from that video, kind of spiraled downhill into a lot of SM groups, and the one group that will forever have a soft spot in my heart was Super Junior. And in particular, it was Super Junior's music video, Bonamana.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and, I love Bonamana.
Yeah, and my gosh, it was a time to be alive. Not gonna lie. Yeah, and so like Super Junior with Sorry Sorry, Bonamana, and Shiny Lucifer, that just, it made me stay.
Yeah. Well, Bonamana just turned 11 this year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, last year was their 10th year and I wrote something about it. And today, this year, few weeks ago, it turned 11.
Wow. It didn't seem that long ago, honestly. But if any of you guys have not seen that music video, you have to check it out. That is a classic.
Well, I agree on that. So now is kind of a tricky question to pull your legs. What are your favorite groups?
Oh, okay. I could go on forever for this because, you know, I've been listening to K-pop for a really long time.
Yeah.
But just to make it easier, I'll just say like kind of like the groups that I keep on going back to. Mm-hmm. So if anyone doesn't know, I am a huge ARMY. So obviously I love, love, love BTS, as you can tell from my backdrop.
You know, like everybody can tell, even from your profile. So there's no secret at all.
Yeah. I'm a huge BTS fan, and if anyone wants to hit me up to talk about their latest music video, go for it. I will tell you how much I adore them. They're huge inspirations. Their messaging is so great. So I love BTS, but obviously I'm a huge Multi fan, so it's not just BTS. I love Blackpink. Who doesn't love Blackpink, honestly? They're strong females, and they're just dominating the K-pop industry with hit after hit. They're making new music all the time. I love Day 6. When Day 6 debuted, I was immediately hooked. Their song Congratulations was just so different, and I think they came out the right time at the right moment, because it's just a nice breath of fresh air to have someone like Day 6 in the Rose reintroducing new concepts, a new type of style of music into the K-pop realm. Well, I wouldn't say they're not specifically K-pop, but I understand that a lot of, you know, audiences who listen to K-pop will go into other type, different genres of Korean music, such as like people like IU and a lot of ballads. So, but Day 6 is very, very good. I love a lot of soloists too. I love Changha, Sunmi. Mm-hmm. I could go on. I shouldn't though.
Well, that was really good. Like Day 6, you know, like when you were talking about how they were different from K-pop bands, I remember Yonkei's interview with Eric where he was telling like he was practicing some flying and all those martial arts. And the next day when he finally mastered a particular martial art and when he went to his entertainment, they just said, oh, we have an announcement for you. You're going to be in a boy band. And he was like, okay, well, I just learned to how to, you know, like flip, and now it's never gonna be used, so very nice. I really felt bad for him, but of course we need Yonkei in Day 6. So
hey, we can't have Day 6 without Yonkei.
I won't be in trouble if I say this. I might say that Yonkei is my bias in Day 6.
No way!
Yonkei and Jay, like Jay, if he gets to listen to this, he's gonna be really sad, because Jay was the first person who got my eyes doing Congratulations, but later it became Yonkei and I'm in trouble right now. So
it's okay. You can have Young K and I'll take Jay.
Oh my god. No. Okay, this is sad. I shouldn't have said this.
Jay, you'll be my bias.
That's really cool. So you have been in K-pop for a very long, long time, and that's really amazing. And how you keep up with the current artists is also amazing. So here I wanted to talk about the K-pop cover groups. Were you part of the cover groups, or were you working with the groups that cover?
Yes. So I was a media editor for a college K-pop cover group. They're called UCSD's Chaotix, K-O-T-X. That's how you spell it. But a lot of people have a hard time. They couldn't figure out like how you're supposed to pronounce it. And it's actually Chaotix because, you know, they're chaotic. But yeah, and so it wasn't until I was a junior in college where I was introduced to this K-pop group. And the reason being how I got into it was that I was at the school, and at the time I really wanted to do something new, you know. I really wanted to kind of get out of my comfort zone and join a dance team. And I've never had prior experience to dance, and not gonna lie, probably still don't. I'm not good at it, but it was but the community there, they were really friendly. They just came in, opened with big arms, let me in, and they're like, yeah, no worries. You don't know how to dance? We'll teach you. So that's how I kind of started getting into the K-pop dance cover realm. And I got to learn a couple of pieces that they did. And I knew that at the time they really wanted to start doing dance covers on YouTube. And I was like, hey, I am really into media production, and I really wanted to exercise my skills in videography and editing. Why don't I just help out and contribute to that sort of aspect? And that's how it kind of all started. Yeah.
So what were the covers that you got to produce? Can you let the listeners know so that they can just go check it out?
Yeah. And some of the dance covers that I helped produce was, the first one was Red Velvet's Peekaboo. And honestly, Peekaboo, so good, especially the choreography. Another one that I kind of helped produce was Momoland's Boom Boom. and I also, JBJ's My Flower, which is, if anyone hasn't heard that song, go check it out. It's so heartwarming. The music video from JBJ is just pop of color everywhere. It's aesthetically, visually pleasing.
Okay, so I hope the listeners go check them out. So while we were talking, this just came into my mind. Like, you got introduced to K-pop around 10, 11, 12. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
So, when I got introduced to K-pop, I was around 17. So it was like, totally, I was old. And still then, I still was, you know, like, motivated to go and be a trainer and be, you know, like, trainee and be part of a K-pop group. Were there any time when you thought, maybe I should join a K-pop group?
Okay, well, you know, when I was in high school, I was totally onto the K-pop hype. You know, I was already listening to Big Bang, SHINee, TVXQ. I was just like, in the back of my head, I was just like, oh man, if only I could dream to be in a K-pop group, that would be so cool. But then the harsh reality didn't take too long to kick in when I realized that you have to start at a very young age to be a trainee. And my gosh, the training that they go into to perfecting your dance moves, your singing. First of all, I am a horrible dancer and I'm a horrible singer. There's no way it's possible. So already it just stuck in my head for a moment and then just went immediately. It didn't take that long for me to realize that dream is impossible.
Well, I think you would have been perfect. You know, like maybe.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't have Norman in a K-pop band or group. But he did have some experience working things related to K-pop, and that is with subculture. You were being a marketing intern, going to concerts, helping the team with concerts. So being a K-pop fan for that long, you know, like even now when I think that I'm actually doing something to K-pop, really makes me so happy. So I'm sure that you would have been living at least like half of your dreams with your internship. So how did you enjoy the process, how it all happened, and just share your experience with us?
Yeah, and so it kind of all ties in together, not gonna lie. And so as I mentioned previously, when I was in college, I kind of did all this stuff that was somewhat K-pop related, and it kind of went from there. And so what happened was that after I did those K-pop dance cover videos, my professor, who was part of the communications department, and she was also teaching in the Korean studies department, she took notice on some of the music videos that I produced when I was, or some of the music videos I was making when I was a student in college. And from then she decided to pick me up and hire me to kind of work on one of her documentaries. And so I was very fortunate enough to be even more exposed to the K-pop industry within her, through her connections. And it was just from that experience alone too, that kind of built it up into my interview with Subculture Entertainment. And not gonna lie, when I found out that I got the interview, I was really shocked. I was already a huge fan with Subculture Entertainment and all the concerts that they produce. So that alone, I was just very honored to be considered to go through the interview process. And lo and behold, I did end up getting the internship. And I learned a lot that you could possibly learn in the K-pop industry. And let me tell you, there's a lot of work that goes into creating these K-pop concerts that people may not know. And actually, a lot of these projects that are in behind the scenes have probably been in planning for like months or even years in the making. So yeah, so like everything is just like, it's all delicately planned out, like to the bone, like everything is planned out specifically. Yeah.
So how was it? You know, like, did you get to meet anybody or just enjoy concerts? Something
more? Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to meet any K-pop idols. That just alone, working in the in concert production itself is already a huge honor. But there's just being an intern alone, you have so many things you have to do to make sure that the concerts are running smoothly. There's barely any time for you even like say watch hi, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it's just that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, you know. You just have to make sure it was like like, oh my gosh, I have to do that one thing, and I have to make sure that this thing gets done correctly. There's so many people behind the scenes that's just like running to make sure that the K-pop experience is the best that we can give for fans.
That's really cool. So recently, Monsta X has released their concert schedule for next year, 2022. So I think with 2022, things get back to normal and things start working on again. So Norman, when you were talking about concert experiences, I wanted to ask this particular question. Like, you are a person who have been attending concerts regularly. That's what I got to know from your profile. So you have experienced it in person, and your latest concert was a virtual one with iZone. It was there, like the goodbye concert, the last one.
Yes.
So what was the difference? I know the experience is definitely less, but I still feel that online concerts have, you know, like opened up for many people for global people to also be part of the concert experience. But what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, especially with the pandemic going on, I know a lot of artists really miss that aspect of seeing their fans face to face in a venue. And yeah, obviously the energy, the experience is very different from watching it virtually. But what I really appreciate is that these artists, these idols, they still want to connect with their fans and kind of let them know that they're still working hard to create all these beautiful music, these feelings that they want to kind of express. And so these virtual concerts kind of allow fans to still stay connected with the artists that they support and they love. And well, for the IZONE virtual concert in particular, it really, without this concert, it probably would have been so devastating for IZONE fans to know that they'll never get another chance to see them again, especially since they disbanded not that long ago. And so it's really these virtual concerts that really allowed fans from around the world to still keep in touch with how they're going on and also to still enjoy the music that came out during these 2 years, you know, because I know that once everything goes back to normal and everything, and all the tours going on, these idols, they're going to keep on making music, you know, but the songs that they may have made in the past 2 years, it might not be featured in the concerts that we will have in the future, you know.
Oh my God, that just struck my mind and I feel sad. Wow, that is true. But maybe they ask fans to tell them and we tell them, you dance with this song or something. I don't know. You know, like, I was a fan of X1 and they had 5 years and I promised myself, oh my God, in this 5 years, I'm definitely going to be very huge journalist and I'm gonna meet them. I wanna meet them, X1. And in 2 months they just disbanded. So wow. When I think about these kind of project groups, no matter whoever I talk about, the one thing that really hits me hard is X1, and it's still so hard. It was such a very good group, and not to forget that the members are also, you know, like, they didn't even get time to, you know, like, have that rapport as a group. They were just trying to mingle and all that. They were doing their job, kind of, you know, like, getting into this group kind of structure. And one day it's, like, nothing. Wow, these project groups are here to make us feel weak, our hearts.
I know. It's always, it's so devastating to see them leave this and go back to their to to their agencies, you know. But the thing is, we have to appreciate the time and the moment that they spent with us. And it, even if it's brief, they really worked really hard to give everything they can give to their fans.
Wow, that's well said. Yes. So thank you. So we spoke about a lot of K-pop. So I did mention before our call that I have zero idea about anime. Don't come at me, people. Like, I have watched few cartoons when I was so small. We had this channel, Animax, where they had cartoons. Well, I was kind of too young, so that, you know, like, English was a foreign language, so I couldn't even understand what they were talking at a point. And then I just switched the channel. I'm sorry if that's offending anybody. But, you know, like, a lot of people love anime. And here's a secret, people. Norman cosplays.
Oh, no!
Well,
yeah, so, I do. Occasionally, I do cosplay. It's a little bit... I haven't cosplayed in a while, you know, pandemic. But...
I literally saw a pic of yourself, and like, you just dyed your hair, and you literally look like that same anime cartoon. I don't know who that character is or what, but that was cool. So, yes, you may speak about anime and your experience cosplaying and anything that's possible.
I am gladly to introduce you to the world of anime.
Well, yes.
Yeah, and I kind of got introduced to anime also with the same circle of people, as you know. But even as a kid, we did have some animes that would show up on TV. Like, everyone knows Pokemon, Cardcaptor Sakura.
Pokemon is an anime?
Technically, it is. Yeah.
I love.
So maybe
Pokemon.
You know that. Yeah, you watch anime.
So, all these Bakugan, Beyblade, all these are anime as well, technically, if you analyze the cartoons.
So, I think anime in particular, it has to be animated from a Japanese animation company. I don't know, Beyblade might be an American television show, or if it was dubbed in English, but you might have to get back to me on that. But when I was a kid, I watched like shows like Pokemon. There was Cardcaptor Sakura, Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh. But I wasn't really immersed into the world of anime at the time yet, and probably I was too young to do so. And so it wasn't until like I see around my senior year of high school that anime that was really huge was Attack on Titan. And yeah, and for some people who don't know what Attack on Titan was, it's a show that's set in a totally different universe, different world, where these characters, they live in these walls that surround them. And so the inner walls are the people who are nobles, the royalty, and as you go outer into like these two other walls, the commoners live outside. And so they're threatened by these beings called Titans that eats people. And so first episode, right off the bat, I don't know if it's spoiler spoiler alert, one of the Titans actually break down the wall and kind of come in and terrorizes the civilians and like kills a lot of people. Definitely not a show for kids, but that show alone, when I was watching it in high school, I was like, whoa, there's an anime that was this graphic and so dark and mature. And I was like, you know, like everyone kind of has like this stereotype of envisioning that Japanese anime is always like bubblegum and poppy with a lot of pastel colors, you know, and it's very magical. Like magical girls was like a huge trope in the anime world, you know? So this introduction of like this type of anime where it has a heavy storyline where it centers around, it's very depressing, not gonna lie. It really intrigued me to know that there are these type of different types of animes that introduces these heavy plot lines. And so from there on, I was like, whoa, if there's an anime such as this, there's probably more like others. And so that's how I got into the world of anime. And I spiraling down, you know, left and right, I was watching, started watching Full Metal Alchemist and Sword Art Online, and then I'm stuck in it now.
And you're enjoying it. I can clearly see that in your face. You're like, yes.
Well, hey, anime, there's so many good animes out there. It's like, there's so many good animes out there that there's always one, there will be one that will suit anybody, like for any different type of people. Like if you love cooking shows, there are cooking show animes out there, and there's a lot of virtual reality animes where like these characters, they kind of get immersed into like a video game and they kind of like live life and death. And there's like a lot of dark animes, and of course like animes like Naruto, My Hero Academia, like these huge shonen animes, they kind of like continue the peddling of like how cool that anime can be, you know.
Wow, so your introduction makes me want to see them, so you successfully persuaded me, so let's see. I also knew that a lot of K-pop idols are also into anime, so at least I should try watching some of your favorites so that I can keep track on what is happening.
Yes. Okay, you know what's the one particular anime that I know for some reason that a lot of idols watch? Is this sports anime called Haikyuu. And not gonna lie, there's not like a lot of intense plot that happens in this particular show. It centers around like this group of high schoolers. They're really invested into being the best volleyball players in the high school division. And they just sacrifice all their time and energy to be the best. And they're competing school after another school. And it's not typical to see like them to kind of flop and kind of lose matches. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't expect like the main characters to lose matches, you know, but it happens in this show. And so what's great about Haikyuu is that you kind of see them start off, you know, they're not the best, but from their mistakes and trial and tribulation, they like become better and stronger. And then like they're beating these notorious high schools with these big volleyball players as well. And so it's just that energy that is, yeah, it's a feel good show.
This reminded me of a cartoon that I watched. It is Galactic Football, where they are footballers. So it is also kind of the same plot. They just battle for different season, different cups. So yeah. I do watch a lot of cartoon. Talking about your current career, that is being part of making trailers. And I told you before, like, it is definitely one of my dream jobs. So, wow, that is really cool. So, you know, like, getting, you know, like, being landed in such a job, has your view on music videos changed? Like, when you were young, you were talking about all these colors and visuals, but now do you see it in a different way? And how does music videos now sound more different than the previous ones.
Yeah. And so in that aspect, you know, when I was in high school, already I could tell that K-pop music videos alone were really different from American music videos. There's so many aspects. The biggest thing about K-pop music videos is that it has to be visually pleasing to the eyes, you know? Like, they have to dress differently, but cool, dress in different colors, choreography has to be on point, the set design is grand. And so at the time, I did notice these certain aspects of in these music videos. But having have experience working in production and have experience in post-production, you don't realize how much work that it takes to go in to produce one music video, you know? So everything, the creative aspect, as crazy as it may seem, it's all planned out, you know? Not K-pop itself in the industry, it's all planned out. They know what they're doing. They know what kind of, what they want to show to kind of stimulate your brain, you know? And so, and it's really interesting to see kind of the evolution of K-pop music videos, you know, from second gen all the way to now. We're in our fourth gen. I can't believe it. But if you look back at those music videos, they're so different from the ones we see right now, you know. Right now, not gonna lie, I do feel like looking back at the second gen K-pop music videos, they're somewhat dated now. Yeah, in comparison to the ones that we have now, it's like now there's like a lot of graphics heavies. The sets are even bigger and grander, and the clothing they wear now, it's all sleek and chic, and no more eyeliner.
You know, but, like, I think Super Junior just heard it, and like, outdated Bonamana MV. Oh, they're hurt.
Bonamana still.
Like, outdated. Hey, Norman, just say outdated?
Okay, but not gonna lie, SM at the time, they were known to film in these rectangular boxes, if everyone remembers. Like, these boxes that they filmed in for, like, Sorry, Mr. Simple, and FX's Electric Shock. It was not gonna lie, very interesting creative choices. But they definitely have branched out and explored other realms. Like, I just recently watched aespa's new music video for, I believe it was Next Level. Yeah, wow. Visually, it's like I'm watching a movie. Yeah. Yeah, like, music videos have changed so much. A lot of them are like cinematic now. It's crazy. But to this day, visuals on point, aesthetics on point, concept on point, and
theories.
Oh, really? More and theories now. We have theories now.
Yeah, and like, if he lifts the left hand, it means something. If it is the right hand, it means something. And people who write reviews, including me, having a hard time. Wow. They're like, oh, he's drinking. I know. Does this mean something?
Second gen was simpler days, you know?
Exactly. Now, even readers expect you to decode things. Like, I love decoding theories, but at times it's just so weird. Like, I'm not God. I don't know this. I can't even decode this. And people are like, well, I was expecting you to write a little more about the theories. And I'm like, because I don't know. I don't know.
There's so many theories that kind of just like flies by my head, especially with TXT's new music videos and Hyphen's new music videos. I'm just like, I could never pick up these theories. I was just like, whoa, what? I was like, I have no idea.
Wow. People know that I am in love with Drunk and Dazed.
That song is stuck in my head. I every day when I wake up in the morning, I have to play Drunk Dazed to pump myself up. My gosh, it's the choreography of the music video. Okay. You know me. I'm a media editor. So watching the music video for Drunk Dazed, that particular shot where all of a sudden they kind of they blow out the cake and then he's just staring into your eyes, into your soul, and then all of a sudden they strike into the choreography. That shot alone just blew my mind.
My most favorite too. Wow. He's like, ta na 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 na. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
You be there, I be here, no problem.
Yeah, they got me hooked good.
Exactly. They were lovely. And I think whatever the awards they gained, the records they're breaking, it's totally, they super deserve
totally it. Totally deserved so it, good. Yes. Well deserved. And I can't wait to see their new music videos. Oh, and I saw their new music video, Fever. So good.
Guys, I thought Fever was something innocent. It shouldn't be like this. After seeing the MV, I can't even think about innocence anymore. You know, like, you can't make that happen. But low-key, I did expect video for Mixed Up because I liked Mixed Up a little more than Fever. So, like, maybe this is going to be their second song. And they're like, no, Temune. And I'm like, oh, fine. It's my fault.
We could dream. Hey, don't give up too fast, okay? Maybe. Let's...
yes.
Let's hope that hype music gods, please give us a music video.
Yes. So, have you ever thought of working for music videos?
Oh.
Oh.
I thought about it. But okay, here's the thing. I have no idea how to get into that world. Because it's funny that, okay, I do work in the entertainment industry, but there's a lot of bubbles that you have to go through. And I have not talked to anyone who does music videos, so I have no idea. But the idea of helping produce a music video or maybe even help edit it. Sounds so cool. I would love to. It's a K-pop music video, even cooler. My gosh. But yeah, I would love to. let's see what happens in the future. We don't know. But I love what I'm doing right now, making movie trailers. It's so... I'm really blessed to work in this industry, and I'm also a huge movie fanatic. So, yeah, and honestly, I just love anything that touches your soul: music videos, TV shows, anime, movies. I wish I could do everything.
That's why I called you Jack of all trades. You are doing most of the things, so just a little more. And let us make sure, like, we can together work on this project of finding who is working on music videos and hunt them down, get their contacts, and make things happen as fast as we can. So that was really nice talking to you, Norman. And thank you so much for joining. I really enjoyed the episode. So anything you want to share?
Yeah, thank you. I had so much fun talking with you. And thank you for giving me the time to let my fanboy come out. Sometimes I don't have that much opportunity to do so because not surprisingly enough, not a lot of my friends listen to K-pop. What? Yeah, it's, but my gosh, I'm so happy to kind of share all of the K-pop that, all the K-pop groups that I love and hold dearly to. And yeah, everyone, please, if you haven't gotten a chance, watch all the music videos that we talked about. Listen to N-Hyphen, listen to TXT, listen to old groups. My gosh, they're classics, like FX, SHINee, Girls' Generation, Big Bang. Those are the groups that got me into K-pop and made me stay. And groups today, Red Velvet, Blackpink, IZ*ONE, they made me stay even harder.
So like, we have Norman as the unofficial promoter for all the K-pop groups. So. And speaking of second generation, you should also include Teen Top. I love Teen Top.
Yes. Ah, Teen Top. Oh my gosh. Oh, Teen Top with Crazy. That was the first Teen Top song that I listened to and watched. You Kiss. Oh, there's so many underrated groups. Beast, Highlight, so many good songs.
Infinite.
Yes, Infinite. Oh my gosh. Wow, there's so many. Oh, 2 p.m., 2 a.m., CNBLUE. Oh my gosh, so many. There's so many to list.
Anthea was not even here. I'm sorry. Wow. There's such, like, you know, like, despite me talking about all the improvisations, the evolution of K-pop, the second generation does have the charm. And, you know, like, somehow, because I became a K-pop fan 5 years ago, so it's, like, so small. And I just got introduced with the third generation. But still, when I look back, like, Teen Top or Super Junior, groups like that, was just, like, me revisiting them. Me just going because of the suggestions, but still they have that capacity to, you know, like, pull you. Bonamana doesn't have to be a new release to allure you. It is like, it must have been 8 or 7 years old when I saw it, and it had that impact, and I still talk about Bonamana. So
I honestly, like, me getting into K-pop during the second generation, I am so impressed and so happy at how much K-pop has expanded globally. And I actually would never have expected this. When I listened to K-pop, it was still a very niche market, you know? Mm-hmm. And the only way I could access to K-pop was through YouTube. And there wasn't a lot of, you know, exposure, marketing, promotions to these K-pop groups that we have right now. And so just watching and see how much K-pop has grown and how many people could appreciate K-pop internationally, like, and appreciate this great music, I am so happy.
Yeah, and how we got connected because of K-pop, people getting connected
with
the world as well. Nice. So Norman, finally, would you like to give your social media accounts for our listeners to follow up this amazing individual?
Yeah, you could follow me on my Instagram, Mr.Normandy. And just, if you want to chat, DM me, whatnot. We'll talk about anything, anime, K-pop. I love horror movies. We could talk about that. But yeah, And I hope I could see you around again too.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Well, I reached Norman through his DMs, so he's super friendly. You can definitely reach him out. And for me, you can follow me at AmpiaIsip for Instagram and Twitter. If you're going to mention about our conversation, this podcast, you can tag us at Believe in K-pop in Instagram and hashtag Believe in K-pop for Twitter. So make sure to mention us and share your thoughts about this beautiful episode. Thank you so much again, Norman.
And thank you, Anthea, for having me.
Yeah, so hope our listeners have a great week. This is a new week. Have a fun time. Do your work safe. And don't ever forget to spread love and be loved. This is Anthea Isik. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.